Is that an angel?
Coming from heaven. This is my opening music.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, it's the Stinfield Doubles T. Double G. Who knew this was my opening music?
I would have guessed it.
Did you pick this for me?
I would have guessed it. Jump.
Because Dave gets me. Here we go.
Come on.
So now I'm going to start talking about the things I'm going to talk about, and hopefully you guys are entertained and nobody falls asleep or just leaves. We'll see how it goes. This is my blue screen. So if you guys, I'm known as the chief around here because that's what nickname I was given. I can't explain why. It just happened one day. It's one of those things that just comes out, it's magic, and then it stays there. And the Chan's Logic thing, I put out probably a one-minute video on the internet just about every day for everybody to see. I think at least two of you guys in here watch it. Does anybody in here watch it? Oh, yeah, look. You guys are being nice. Nobody watches my stuff. So the thing today is long-term sustainable marketing, and the idea and the goal behind this is to develop a system and a strategy that's going to help you guys propel yourselves long-term, and it's going to allow you guys not to depend on like shotgun marketing approaches when you're building your systems and strategies. And so this is the culmination of all of the little one-minute videos you guys see me ranting about and running in circles around. And you guys will see me making the videos while Steph drives and yells at people because she has road rage. If you ever hear honking in my videos, it's her. She's out of control. And so now we're looking at long-term versus short-term thinking. So short-term thinking is, what am I going to do tomorrow and how am I going to survive? That's when you know you haven't really been doing anything that's been going to give you a strategic advantage. You haven't been doing anything that's going to give you benefits long-term. You don't have a team together and you don't have a strategy where you know what you're going to do for 12, 24, 36 months. And you have a general idea of what the flow is going to be like. And so that's long-term thinking. So don't be basic. That's the unicorn frat there. That was known as the basic drink of the century. But fun fact, I think it had the same amount of sugar as a Coca-Cola. So that was exciting. So don't be basic in your marketing. And when you think about basic marketing, it's the direct versus relationship-based marketing. And I put a bunch of selfies up here and made words on there so you guys would be excited to read that stuff. But when you think about it, relationship-based marketing is building a relationship with the audience by giving them a relationship with. And so when you think about what's happening in your communities, everybody's doing videos on how to do a pull-up. Everybody's doing videos on how to do a squat. Everybody's doing exercise videos, but nobody's doing anything different. And so if you do something different, you create this uniqueness in your community where they recognize what you're doing, they recognize the people doing it, and then you start building a brand, and you start building a sustainable brand off that. You build a recognizable brand. So you're no longer just CrossFit so-and-so, you're the gym. And when you think about the way we do it in our gym, we have a segment called Knit It With The Interns. And it's completely ridiculous, has zero educational value, but it's entertaining and fun. Does anybody in here watch that segment? Oh, see, the people in here watch it. It's hilarious, and we had someone walk in the gym a couple weeks ago and literally said, I watched Knit It With The Interns. And every time I hear that, I'm like, man, out of all the educational stuff we put out, it's the hilarious stuff that makes no sense that people come in to see us for. Everybody knows RJ. Everybody knows Alyssa, and Dale's trying to catch up with Healthy Tails, but he's struggling right now.
I believe in you, Dale.
Thank you. We all believe in him. Does anybody watch Healthy Tails?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. And so when you think about your marketing, direct marketing is trying to trick people to do shit. And you don't want to trick people to do things because it's only going to work once or twice if you have to trick them to make a decision. And if you do that continuously, your brand is going to be known as the cheap brand that's continuously trying to trick people into making decisions, trying to trick people to do things, and then you're a basic brand. So you don't want to be a basic brand. You want people to want to click on your links. You want people to want to read your blogs. You want to get feedback where people say, man, that stuff's really good. It's hilarious. I laughed. Or it really helped me make decisions while I was moving around. You just want them to feel like you're helping them. And so it starts with your brand. You need something that's identifiable, and you need something that people can look at and remember. And so when you think about the industry we're in, everybody has CrossFit so-and-so. And so to the public, when they hear CrossFit, because it's such a big thing, and there's so many affiliates and so many things out there. What the public thinks is franchise commodity. How much does it cost? And you're probably not any different because you guys all have the same name, right? And so when they hear that, all you get is price shoppers, and you get people who don't necessarily care to know what you're about. They don't care about your brand. They don't know what your brand is. They don't even think you have a brand. They think you're a franchise. And then you have to get in the conversation with them about, well, we do things differently here because we do blah, 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 blah. But if you develop your own brand and you have an identity behind that brand, like ours is Stone Age Fuel, a lot of people don't even know we're a CrossFit affiliate, but we've been around for a while and we've always had the affiliation. But they identify us as Stone Age Fuel, and we don't have to get into the pricing conversations. We don't have to get into the why are you different than the CrossFit gym across the street from you. It's, I came in here because I watched your stuff, I thought you guys were cool, and I feel comfortable talking to you. And that's what we want to build. You want to build a comfort factor with the public to where they trust you, they want to come see you, and they don't see you as a commodity or franchise. Unless you find a franchise that you invest in, then you can be a franchise. So when we think about the way we're moving, we want to, in our gyms, we're all about the relationship, right? Everybody's about the relationship. We're all, it's what we talk about, it's what we talk about maintaining, it's what we care about. And so when we look at the economy and the way marketing has evolved in the past 10 years or so, we've gone from what we would call a brand-centric economy. And a brand-centric economy is the brand is the only thing that matters. The brand is the thing that's going to tell everybody what to do. The brand is going to tell you how to think. And what we've evolved is from that into a customer-centric focus. And the customer-centric marketing focus is, what is the customer thinking? What is my staff thinking? And those two thoughts build a perception of my brand. And the perception of your brand is built by the customer now. Your brand doesn't matter if they don't know about it, if they don't think certain things about it. It has no bearing on your brand whatsoever. So what we need to do is, we need to build this culture of caring around our brand to where you have almost a cult-like following with the people who are paying attention to it. And so if you're putting out your content, you're putting out good information, you're building that relationship, and you're always capturing their attention in a unique and different way, the people who are paying attention are going to perceive your brand as that. They're going to perceive it as a caring brand, as a funny brand, as a brand they feel connected to, and that's what you want. You don't want a brand that tells everybody what to think. You want everybody to think about your brand. And now when we think about our marketing and what we put out, the information, it's not about being like super fake and super perfect all the time and showcasing your six-pack abs and your 900-pound thruster. It's being real with people. People want to connect to people on an emotional level that are similar to them. And that's why gyms, like when you look at Planet Fitness, that's why they do so well, because they connect to people in a regular way, even though it doesn't connect to us very well with the lunk alarm and all the weird stuff. But you want to build that connection with the people following your brand. So when you think about it, you have to listen to what the people are saying. What do people think? What do they want? What are their pains? What are their thoughts? So you see someone who sits at a desk all day, their shoulder hurts. You're not going to capture their attention by doing a kipping pull-up tutorial, but you are going to help them with a video on how to fix their posture, how to fix shoulder pain, how to fix problems in their everyday lives. And so when you start doing that stuff and you showcase real people in the videos and not perfect people, use your members, use staff, use kids, use everybody in what you do, and showcase that you have this varied component, people are going to be more likely to connect to you and be more excited to connect with you, because they're going to look at it and say, that's similar to me. I feel like I really connect with these guys and I really want to go in, because they're not perfect. They show me that being human is about having flaws and having different characteristics and being different, and that's okay. And that makes me comfortable, and that makes me want to come in and see them. Versus a brand that showcases the six-pack abs all the time, the perfect person, and now the public's scared. Now the public doesn't want to come in. Look at the way CrossFit marketed the games for so long. What did that do to the public perception? It made them scared, right? It made them say, I could never do that. That's freaking crazy. And so we don't want that perception. We want the perception that we're real and that we're human. And when you look at the way CrossFit's turned the marketing around a lot, it's a lot more focused on the human now, isn't it? Because they've noticed that, and they've listened, and they've paid attention that the game's focus was hurting their affiliates. And that's, as affiliates, we can create our own brand, we can support the CrossFit brand, and we can be human. So we can play the game in the best of all the worlds. So when we look at what I developed, so I've been talking, just babbling on my podcast and all my things I talk about for about a year, And over the course of the year, I've had about 10 different things I consistently talk about. And so what I decided was that I wanted to turn those 10 things into laws of marketing, because when it's a freaking law, it's cool, right? Everybody wants, if it's a law, you have to listen, and it obviously makes sense, and it's true, right? 100%. So my laws of marketing are devoted around a customer-centric focus and building the relationship with the people and understanding the people who are listening to what you're doing. Number one is execute. So if you, a lot of us will consume and consume and consume, but we never actually do anything. And so what you need to do is you need to focus on consuming a lot and then making a list of things that you're going to actually do. What happens a lot of the time is you listen to it, you pay attention, you've listened to all this stuff, 4 months go by and you're like, oh, shit, man, I haven't done anything. So don't get caught in the content cycle where you just listen. Listening is great, but we need to make a list and make a focus on what we want to do. So listen to all these things, organize yourself into a monthly focus and then a yearly focus. I'm going to accomplish this month, I'm going to accomplish this next month, and then in your staff meetings, organize that into, okay, we got this done, we didn't get this done, why? Okay, let's do that next month. So that way you're consistently actually doing something and you're not just talking about doing it. Number two is be consistent. So how many of us have started something and then just dropped off the face of the earth, never to do it again? Only a few weeks later, right? All of us. Consistency is the number two thing that's most important, because if you're not consistent, you're going to start putting stuff out, nobody's going to ever see you again, they're going to decide to do it again a few months later, and then you're just in this endless perpetual cycle of crap. And so we need to get out of that cycle and start focusing on, okay, we're executing now, and we've been doing this, now we're consistent. So now we know we've been doing this for 3 months, and I would do this in like a 3-month cycle. We did it, all right, 3 months later, let's reevaluate where we're at, let's look into this, is it working? No, okay, let's change it, yes, okay, let's keep doing it. That way you get into yourself in quarterly consistency cycles. Next one, listen. Be a good listener. And what this means is when you put out your content, you put out all the information, you put out blogs, podcasts, all the things you guys are doing, you need to listen to what people are saying about and what your members and what your non-members are saying. If you put one segment out, like Armin with the interns, and you get, like, everybody loves it and they're all about it, you know that's a good piece, and you know that you're going to keep that piece in there because you're getting feedback, people are coming in, people are talking about it. On the other hand, if you put out a piece and nobody cares, or people comment negatively about it, don't get offended and don't get upset with the customer, because their perception of what you're doing is what matters. So you need to almost engage with them, unless it's a like an idiot troll, then just ignore it. But if they give you really good feedback and say like, well, that was okay, but I thought it was kind of stupid, you can ask them, hey, thanks for the feedback. What can we do to make this better? And then when you hear that, you can take that feedback and you can use that to make what you're doing continuously better. And a couple ways you can do this, you can search for what your brand is on Facebook and see what people are saying about it. You can go on Instagram and search your hashtags and see what people are saying about it. You can do a location search on Instagram now so you can see what people are checking in and saying about what you're doing. You just need to be always listening. And put this into what you're doing with your consistency cycle. So what are we doing? Okay, what are people saying? All right, they like it. Okay, great, let's keep going. Oh man, everybody hates us. Let's abandon ship and fix what we're doing. But always be evaluating and adjusting and listening to what people are saying. Because if you don't listen, you're never going to evolve. You're never going to be an engaging brand. And people are going to think you don't care about them. When you look at your Instagram accounts, how many people go in there on your page and comment back and forth with every single person who comments on your pictures and all that stuff? Oh, look at Ben Tim, you're a champ. Anybody else? Oh, back here, Laura. So that's what you need to do. If you're not engaging, if you're not commenting back and forth, and if you're not telling people that you appreciate their comments, you appreciate them and their responses, they're not going to think you care about them, or they're not going to remember you because you never said anything back. And if you don't engage back and forth with them, you're irrelevant. So make that a practice. It might be a once a day thing. You post a picture, come back a few hours later, check it, and then comment back and forth, talk to them. And what you can do when you're doing that as well is after you've done a few comments, you push them into a direct message feed, and then all of a sudden you have someone in for an intro or something like that. I just had someone who was direct messaging the MATLAB group page, and we were just talking back and forth for a long time about some practices and principles, and eventually it turned into asking about joining the group, and I gave him Kevin's booking link, and so hopefully he does that. But that's how you do it. You engage, you respond, you talk, you give value, and then you ask them to do something when they're ready. And they'll ask you about it. They'll say, okay, I'm ready. What do I do now? So that's what people are saying about you. That's how you learn. how you grow, and how you evolve as a brand. So execute, be consistent, listen. If you can follow those three principles, you're going to continuously evolve, continuously move forward, and then 3 months from now, when all the gyms around you are copying what you're doing, you're already doing something different. So they're 100% behind you every time they decide to copy what you're doing and pick it up. Because you're going to notice that when you start putting this stuff out and you start doing this cool stuff, they're going to notice it and they're probably going to copy you. And what that is it's you don't have to be focused on your competitors. They're going to be 100% focused on you because you're leading the way, you're paving the path, and you're creating the future of what you're doing, which sets you up for success because they're always going to be a step behind you. And this is the long-term game. It's the pursuit of mastery in your marketing and your business. If you're not pursuing mastery, you're not continuously learning, you're not continuously evolving, you're not trying to continuously grow, you're going to get stagnant. And if you're stagnant, you're just going to be stuck forever, and then you're going to be angry, and you're going to say, well, this didn't work, this is stupid. But what happened was you didn't learn, you didn't grow, and you didn't evolve. So now focus on where the attention is. So everybody always asks, where should I put all this stuff out? And for us, it has to be on the most relevant platforms based on how much time you have available. There's different ways people consume content, which we'll talk about in a minute, but what we need to do is we need to identify where people are. So how many people in here have at least a blog once a week? Perfect. So if you have a blog once a week, you're capturing the attention of the people who are reading and people who want to visit your blog. So that's one avenue. How many people have a Facebook page for your business? Perfect. So that's the next avenue. Half the world is on Facebook. They have over a billion users or something like that. And that's the next piece where we can capture attention. Now we can grow our attention from Facebook because it has such a big base and we can tag people and create virality. How many people have an Instagram? So Instagram is probably our number three. Instagram or YouTube? Does everyone have a YouTube? So that's your next one. So those are probably your top platforms to be putting your content out consistently. So it needs to be, your Facebook is things where we're doing segments like Minute with the Interns, we're promoting those posts, we're getting it out to the public, we're growing our page. Instagram, we're showcasing our pictures and a lot of our information, same thing, but we're adding stories. So when we add stories, what that is, it's pretty much a copy of Snapchat, but what it does is you can take pictures of behind the scenes stuff. So nobody wants to watch someone do burpees for 15 seconds. Is that entertaining for anybody in here? So it's not that the public doesn't care. They're just, oh, cool, that's a burpee. Good job. But what you want is showcase like your staff behind the scenes doing something cool, or showcase one of your staff members helping someone in fundamentals doing a new movement. Showcase things that the public wouldn't see that they notice and that they can connect with. Like, oh, they're doing one-on-one stuff. They're doing little nutritional talks. The staff is behind the scenes and they're out of control. There's kids playing in the gym. So that kind of stuff should be on your stories and your Snapchat and that kind of stuff. And when you look at platforms like Snapchat, that's for if you have a youth program. Kids are all over Snapchat. It's a super niche market for the youth market, and that's where you're going to build the awareness around programs if you have like a kids program or a youth weightlifting program or something like that. The two spots where we build our youth stuff are Instagram and Snapchat, and the high schoolers are on Twitter, which is interesting. So those are where you have to understand your demographics. Am I focusing on adults? Am I focusing on kids? Am I focusing on both? Do I have no idea? And then you adapt and respond based off of where you're at. So kids, Instagram, Snapchat, a little bit of Twitter. Adults is going to be your Facebook and your Instagram and your YouTube. So leverage your strengths. This is my next law of marketing. And remember, it's a law, so it's legit. So when you leverage your strengths, what this means is I know what I'm good at and I'm going to do what I'm good at. So maybe I'm good at writing blogs, so my focus is blogs. Maybe I'm really good at doing videos, my focus is videos. Maybe I'm really good at audio stuff, so I'm going to start a podcast. So you need to do what you're good at. Like, who here likes to do videos? I do. Who here likes to write blogs? Me for you. So what you need to do is take yourself and your staff and identify each one of your strengths. So if you got everybody who wants to do video, then you're going to have a bunch of really good videos. If you got staff who is varied, some like videos, some like written, and some just want to talk, then maybe you have a video, you have a blog, and you have a podcast now. So take your strengths and leverage them and focus on what you're good at don't force your staff or yourself to sit there and do a video if it takes them 17 hours to produce because they hate it and they don't like it, because they're not going to be consistent, they're going to quit doing it. And you can't force someone to do something when they're not good at it, because you're just going to the inevitable point of failure. And when you think about what we do, I'm good at like doing the videos and making strategies and all that, and Steph in the back runs the electronics and a lot of the things that I'll break if I touch. So I don't necessarily get on there and mess with it as much, but I'll do all the other things that I am good at, because I know if I try to do what she's good at, it's going to take me several hours to figure out and a lot of frustration. Does anybody ever get into that? So remember, you have to identify what you're good at, and you have to put your ego aside and identify what you're not good at, and then leverage your strengths based off that. It should be, what you're good at should be focused on literally what you're good at, like on the platform, and it should be based off your personalities and your strengths in terms of what you're good at in the gym. So it should be like, okay, I'm really goofy and I'm funny, my personality is that, and then I'm really good at nutritional talks. So I know I'm going to do a super goofy nutritional video once a week, and I'm going to talk about eating healthy while on the go, or how do you eat a menu at a restaurant in the best way possible, how do you make best choices while traveling, and I'm going to use my personality to throw it out there, or if it's a blog, I'm going to use my personality in a blog. So you need to do that to create that unique identification behind what you're doing, because have you guys ever sat there and watched a video where they're like, hi, my name's Don, today we're going to do a kipping pull-up. And then you watch it for like 3 more seconds and you're like, oh my god, I'm going to shoot myself, this is over, we're not watching this anymore. And then you never go back and watch it, because now it's irrelevant, you don't care about it. So remember, it's fun, make it engaging. If you're not fun, then figure out how to be a little fun, be more serious. Your staff should be at a level to where they're mostly professional and they know that what they're doing is building not only the gym's brand, but their brand awareness, which will ultimately build their books. The whole goal is to help everybody, and this comes in, these are my pillars of great content. We'll talk about leadership in a second, which is I think a really big aspect that we lack on a lot of the time, is how do you lead your staff in a way to where they want to follow you and they want to pay attention to what you're doing, or they want to continue doing it. And when you say something, they're like, oh god, this is stupid, it's so much work, I hate my life. You want to get rid of that environment. And when you think about the most important people in your organization and the most important people associated with your business, who are they? Can anyone answer who the most important people are? Your staff. Your staff is incredibly important, because the way that they feel and the way that they talk about your brand, the way that they portray everything, is the way the perception is going to be built around your brand. So the staff is an extension to the owner. The owner is also one of the most important people, because you are a member of your staff in your gym. You guys are operators. Most here are absentee owners. Is anybody here not get on the floor at all anymore? So there's a couple of us. So you guys, your focus, if you're not on the floor, is your staff. How can I make the experience better for you guys? What is happening, and what do we need to do to change it if you don't like what's going on? And that's part of the culture of care. And remember, it's creating this culture of team, the team culture. It's not the individual culture we want to create with this. So you want everybody to want to support the brand, build the brand, and you want them to feel like they're part of the brand, and they're literally building it with you. You're not just the guy who owns it, you're a team. So the last part is my pillars of great content, which is the last three segments, the three laws of marketing that I created. And remember, it's a law, so this is legit, 100%. So number one, this is how you engage with people. You want to connect with people on an emotional level, and you want to connect with people in a way that makes them excited and makes them feel good about your brand. So we need to do three things. We need to motivate and inspire people. I feel if you use positivity, it works a lot better than being negative, because people recognize negativity as a negative brand, and that'll be the identification behind what you do. So be positive in what you do when you motivate people. It can be a video, a picture with text on it, whatever it is, but one of the pillars of great content is being motivating people. A lot of people wake up and they have a stressful life, they hate their jobs, they're late, their kids are crying, and one little thing can make their day a lot better. So be that catalyst to help them out. Number two is educate people. You want to educate people in the things that they actually need. So that maybe they need help reading a menu at a restaurant, maybe they have shoulder pain, maybe they have problems keeping up with the kids, maybe they can't do something, whatever they can't do well or they have a pain about, You have to put videos out and information and blogs to educate them on how they can make their pain less and how they can make their lives better. That's how we connect with people. They don't care about how to do a pull-up. You can make that stuff for your members to consume, but for the outside world, you need to fix their pains and problems that are associated with their everyday lives. And you can just send out a simple email and ask people what their biggest pains are in their lives. They'll respond, and now you have content you can use and produce from. Number three is make people laugh. If you think about creating virality and getting people to share and tag friends and getting engaged, it's always the laughter. I think the other day there was a post about a taco pizza, and someone not only shared it to my wall, but tagged me in the share on the bottom. So it's that kind of stuff that gets people to want to share it. They want to tag their friends because they know it makes them feel connected. They think it's funny, and then they like your brand. Your brand's engaging. So that's a third pillar to great content. So motivate people, educate people, and make them laugh. And if you focus on these three things, you'll have a really engaging brand that people can identify with and that people are excited about. So that's the sharing and tagging. This is how you get your brand out there without paying a lot of money for it. I look fast in this picture. So you want to get people to share stuff, you want them to tag themselves, you want them to tag their friends, and then you expose your things to all these networks, which is exciting. And when you think about this, this is the power of emotions. If you tap into people's emotional pathways and you tap into people's needs and wants and connect with them like that, you're going to have a strong following. You're going to have people who care immensely about what you're doing. So it's more about the emotions and more about connecting to people on an emotional level than it is about just producing content and information out there. You need to know what they want, what they need, and why they're hurting, and then you need to react and respond to that to engage with them at the highest level. So remember, it's daily. We'll wrap this up. It's daily content to build trust, leveraging your strengths on the specific medium that you're using for it, based on your demographics and what your audience is saying. Then we need to give different ways for people to consume. So some people watch, some people read, some people listen, and some people just like to look at pictures. So if you're capturing people in those different environments, you're going to capture them in the different ways that people both learn and consume information. Engage with your community. Don't leave them hanging. Talk with them. Go back and forth with them. Make sure that you're responding and reacting to their feedback. Like, it's just a lonely community is a sad community. If you're not connecting, you're irrelevant to them, and they're not going to remember you. They remember the brand that talks to them. Everybody knows about Wendy's Twitter account because they're hilarious. That's the kind of stuff you want to create. The rest of this, you want to build strategic partnerships in your community. So you want to leverage chiropractors and physicians and all these other coffee shops and all this stuff in order to build a bigger base around outside of social media. So strategic partnerships are incredibly important. Workshops, so you need to organize either monthly, sometimes monthly is too much, so maybe like a quarterly workshop for shoulder health, a quarterly workshop that's a coffee and chocolate tasting. Anything that you can get to use people outside of your gym to bring them in, give them a quick 20-minute workshop, capture all their emails, and then continue nurturing them over time. This is how you continuously build people and pull people in outside of social. Newsletters, take all your content and all your information, put it into a newsletter as a digest, and then at the bottom, put a simple call to action. Download our free ebook. Come in for a free intro session. Follow us on Instagram. Whatever you want to build at that point in time is what you need to put at the bottom of that newsletter. But these are powerful because you can do a weekly one, a bi-weekly, whatever you want to do, but it allows you to take everything and put it in a consumable format for everyone. If you don't have time, you have time to spare. And that's it. So content plus engagement plus emails equals win. If you have to have a complete system to be successful. If you just have an email system that nurtures people but no way to get people to it, it's going to fail. It's not going to be something that works long term because you don't have any way to funnel people in. If you have content without the follow-up in the email side, you're going to fail because you don't have any way to capture them and bring them in. And then be a leader and a mentor. Yeah.
Great stuff, Chief. Great stuff. Chandler Walker, everybody.